Nur der HSV, für uns zählt einfach nur der HSV. Nur der HSV, für uns zählt einfach nur der HSV.
Moin Moin, hier ist Timo. Heute ohne neue Ausgabe des Supporters Club Podcast. Stattdessen habe ich euch was Cooles mitgebracht. Ich durfte neulich zu Gast sein, genauer gesagt letzte Woche, beim Hamburg Hangover Podcast von Harten Hands aus Schottland. Die Jungs sprechen sehr gerne über den deutschen Fußball, im Speziellen über den HSV, und ich wurde da zum Fachsimpeln eingeladen. Wir haben uns auf Englisch ein bisschen über den HSV unterhalten. Für mich manchmal nicht ganz einfach, aber ich glaube, es ist trotzdem sehr hörenswert. Normalerweise steckt dieser Podcast hinter einer Paywall in Schottland. Ihr bekommt ihn von uns for free. Viel Spaß damit. Wir wünschen euch ganz viel Spaß beim Hören. Jetzt hört rein.
This is a Heart and Hand Production.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Hamburg Hangover. Yes, another offset of the European Hangover. We've listened, we've taken on board your thoughts, your feelings on a club that I'm sure many of us have a very fond feeling for, HSV. And what we are going to do with the Hangover is once a month have a podcast specially dedicated to all things Hamburger Sportverein. My name is James Forrest, as always, the host of The Hangover, and I am joined by three very, very special guests for this pilot episode of this new offset. First of all, my man joining me, as always, for all things Hamburg chat, it's a pleasure to welcome back Mr. Derek Johnston. Hello, Deke.
How's it going, mate?
Happy to have you back on with this. It's going to be good fun, I think. Discussion a few weeks back on Hamburg and the reaction to that. A lot of people very interested in hearing more about all things HSV. So I guess a lot of the credit goes down to you for this.
Just good to see people taking an interest on the platform as well. It's always good to help the friendship grow as well. More people start to understand how important HSV is to Rangers and Rangers is to HSV.
Absolutely. Also joining us, I'm very happy to have him back after our discussion very recently on the Hangover on football in his homeland. But to come on for a bit more of a kind of German football perspective, which is something we'll also look into, it's Graham Hanna. Hello, Graham.
Good evening, James.
Pleasure to have you back on, and we are delighted to have a very special guest for this first episode of the Hamburg Hangover. He is someone who is not only a member of the Hamburg Loyal Rangers Supporters Club, but he is also the leader of the HSV Supporters Club. We are delighted to have Tim Oliver Horn with us. Timo, welcome to Heart and Hand, welcome to the Hangover. How are you this evening?
Moin from Hamburg. Yeah, I'm very fine. I'm very excited. Very excited. So it's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Our absolute pleasure. It's quite appropriate that we start this new venture at this point for Hamburg, because Hamburg are starting a new venture of their own with a new manager in place. Dieter Hecking has left, and in his place, we have a man by the name of Daniel Thion. We'll talk more about Thion in just a second, but Timo, I wanted to ask you your thoughts on Dieter Hecking leaving HSV. Do you think this is the correct decision? And if so, do you agree with the man who has taken over?
That's very difficult to say, because I think Dieter Hecking made a very good job the most time of the season, but after the corona break, so I have the feeling he lost a bit his team. So yeah, the contract was ending, and that, for me it's okay to change the manager. And I'm very interested what Daniel Thune is bringing to us. He's a very young guy, made a fantastic job in Osnabrück. They were close to get relegated to the fourth division, so he saved them. And the next season, he bring them up to the second division, and he hold them in the second division with one of the lowest budgets in the league. So, yeah, I'm very interested in him, and I think he can make our younger players better.
Is this the thing about this appointment, Derek, the fact that this is a guy who can come in and really try and harness the youth and really bring on some of the younger players that are coming through? Because Hamburg does have a good reputation for bringing through young players. We've maybe not seen that as much in recent years. Is this part of the reason why Thune has come in to try and go down that route a bit more now?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's part of the reason. Jonas Blod, the sporting director, said in the press conference to announce the new manager that part of the reason was finance-based, and obviously because of the lack of finances, they need to be a bit creative in terms of the appointment, and that's why they brought the man in, because he's quite happy to work with youth players and find a different way. So it's definitely a change, I would say. I think it's a bit of an acceptance as well from Hasval that sadly we are a Zweite Liga club and we need to start acting like one until such times that we're back in the big time.
Graham, this kind of appointment, I think Derek strikes on something there, that there is a level of manager that you can try and attract. Dieter Hecking felt like a really good appointment when he was brought in, but obviously it hasn't worked out. And the kind of level that we're going for now with Thune over someone that maybe has a bit more Bundesliga caliber is an interesting one, because Hamburg's still a big enough club to bring in a big name manager. But maybe that's the problem right now for Hamburg. We don't need a big name manager. What Hasval needs is someone that knows the Zweite Liga and has the potential to get the club out of the Zweite Liga back into the top division.
Ideally, James, yes. But I would say there are two things that are very important at the moment. Number one, for the club and for all of the fans, is some kind of stability. The manager's position, is basically, the head coach, as it is generally in Germany. It's a revolving door. Timo will be able to tell us better. But, over the years, the amount of coaches that have come in, shown a bit of promise, and then things have just gone bad and got worse, and they've been replaced. But along with that stability, has to come progress. There's no point in the new man, Thune, coming in and doing okay. Yes, we need to face reality that for the foreseeable, we're a second-tier club in Germany. But that has to come with reality in terms of the club's ambitions, the demands and expectations of a very passionate and loyal fan base. And although maybe not as much money will be spent this year, for reasons, obvious reasons, as well as others that I'm sure we'll get into later in the show, it will still be significant money compared to what other teams will be spending. And hopefully, the new coach will be working with a bigger budget than what he has done previously. He done quite a good job with Osnabrück. So we're hoping, yes, he knows the level, he knows the players. He can maybe bring a couple with him from his old club. But we need those two things, stability, progress. We need to build an identity in terms of how Haverswil plays, you know, and to make the Volkspark a place where teams don't look forward to coming rather than three easy points.
Timo, do you think it's fair that a lot of people think that Hamburg managers in recent years have just been very unlucky, or have the appointments from the board for the man to take over as manager been very poor in the past? And if that is the case, should people be maybe worried about this kind of appointment if it is once again an experiment that could ultimately just fail?
Really? Well, I really don't know. So we had, I think it's too easy to say the managers had bad luck only, or they weren't good enough. So there are so many points coming together that we failed every season the last years. I think that's not only the manager, or not only the team, or not only the management or whatever. So I think, I think Graham was the last guy who talked about it. He bring it on the point. It's what we need is a new identity in the club. So we need to rebuild also the team, that we get success again. And I think we need to make a step back to make maybe two steps forward in the next season, and rebuild the team and the loyalty and the what the fan base is bringing in. That's what the team need to bring in, you know. So, and that wasn't in the past, I think.
James, just on that issue about identity that Timo mentioned, you know, as Rangers fans, we can relate to when Walter Smith came back in. The priority was to organise the team, to set up a defensive unit, make it hard to beat, hard to play against, and then, you know, to build things from the back. You know, as the cliche goes, even the season just finished and the season before in Bundesliga 2, yes, Hamburg were winning, but the form was quite erratic. You know, we would win two, then we would draw one, we would lose. You know, there was no, the only consistency was inconsistency. You know, you would watch a completely different type of game from one week to the next. So I think it's that identity is about, you know, organisation. It's about shape. And, you know, as I'm sure Derek will get on to, you know, can we get a couple of leaders into the team? You know, I want to see players playing with smiles on their faces. Obviously, that comes with winning, but the pressure and the weight of the jersey of the Haverswil badge, it's just been too much for some of these players over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think what we made wrong was we bought big names for a lot of money, but we didn't bought any player with passion. So we have a lot of good players, but what's missing is a passion for playing for our club. And I think that's good for Daniel Thun. I think he will bring back the passion to the team, and he will rebuild a team, not with the best players maybe, but hopefully with the best team. So I think that's what the club is, needs, is that there's a real team on the pitch.
Is that what Thun has been saying on his appointment? What has he been saying about what he intends to do with the club? Has he made noises about wanting to build more of a team rather than a lot of good individuals, but guys that can't gel together? How has he done in those kind of early press conferences, Timo?
Yeah, that's what he said. I think that we need to rebuild a team. That we need players who loves to play for this club, who don't come just because of the money we pay them. So we need players who come to Hamburg to play for HSV, because this is one of the biggest clubs in Germany, maybe still one of the biggest clubs in Europe. So, and we are far away from our glory times, but everybody wants to go back to the first Bundesliga, and this is not working with the best players. This is just working with the best team, because this is what you need in the zweite Liga, in the second league. You only can win with teamwork. And that this is what he said, and this is what exactly he does in Osnabrück. So that was a great team. They beat us, and the second game they make a draw in Hamburg. So, and this was well deserved with a squad with one of the lowest budgets in the league. So he made a really good team of it.
Okay, no, that's encouraging to hear, I think, in terms of his plans, and we have the evidence there based on his time at Osnabrück. Derek, we've talked a lot there about, you know, building teams, and in order to do that, you need to get rid of some of the dead wood involved. So who have been some of the players that have already departed the club for Pastures New?
There's been a bit of a clearing of the decks, and it's still potentially continuing as well. Berkay Özkan was a Turkish guy who's been on loan last season to Besiktas, and he has now made that move permanent for over £2 million, a reported fee. Big Papadopoulos, he's out the door as well. Freed, which is, we discussed the last time we done a pod in Asphalt, but the famous number 9 shirt centre half. The big man's out the door. Sad, kind of sad to see him go, because at points for Asphalt, he definitely showed exactly what we needed, a strong leader at centre half. But I think there was a bit more than leads to the eye with that one. Bradley, though, other centre half that's away, Timo Leshert, thank fuck for that. Christoph Moritz as well, another bit of a journeyman. And Gyros Imperio, they're both away. Tobias Nost as well, a young player who came through from Hamburg youth system. He's out the door. As well as various loan players returning to their clubs, such as Martin Harnick, Adrian Fine, Jordan Bayer, Louis Schwab, and Joel Pan-Pan-Pan-Pan-Pan-Pan. Is off back to Leverkusen, although, as we said previously, mate, hopefully the Gers make the smart offer of maybe £4 million quid, try and steal him, bring him to Glasgow. But as well as that, there's rumoured interest in Lucas Hintzier, with clubs accordingly across the Zweite Liga, the English Championship, and an MLS interested in Lucas, who's only got 12 months left in his current deal. There is talk as well that Julian Polarsbeck will finally get his move. The strangest decision throughout Häcken's reign for me was the fact that, as we discussed previously, it was all bombed out and then brought back in at crunch time. And he, according to Kicker, is possibly on the way to Union Berlin for the new season. Sadly, there is also reports that Tim Leibold, who has been my favourite player in the last season, purely for his scrappy-do mentality, we better no surrender spirit about him. But there's rumours that he might be falling off. And another two, I kind of see whether we get money for both of these guys, to be honest. But Bobby Wood and our former Rangers man, David Bates, they both are rumoured to be ones that the club would like to move on.
It's a lot of players that you've mentioned there that have gone or are going. A lot of these names, they're the kind of names that they should have done a lot better in this division than what they have done. In particular, Papadopoulos, he's probably the biggest name. He's probably the most well-known of the players that we've talked about there. Not just for the fact he wore the number 9, which to this day will forever hurt my heart. I think it kind of comes back to that discussion that we had earlier, Derek. There's some guys that are good players, but when it comes to dealing with that particular division, sometimes you need to be more than just a good player. You have to have the right mentality. And it's all fine and well having, you know, the sort of the guts for a fight, but there's a difference between fighting in the Bundesliga and fighting in the Zweite Bundesliga. And I think that's maybe something we've seen with some of these guys, and it's the reason why it's just not really worked for them. Would you go along with that, or do you think there's something more to it?
To be honest, I think that's part of the issue. Mm-hmm. But as well, it kind of reminds me of our own second championship season at Rangers, where there's just a need for a wiping of the decks before you actually give a new manager his opportunity to build his team. Mm. When you look at the amount of players that's away, it's pretty much a full team. And when you include some of the guys that are potentially going, there won't be much left in terms of previous squad. There'll be still an undercurrent, but it would pretty much give Tion his own platform to go and build a team in his own image. And to be honest, if you're looking at a young manager who's clearly ambitious, you've got to give him that opportunity, I think. I don't think you can come in and go, here's our broken toys, can you fix them? Because I don't think that'll be his bag.
Yeah. I guess that's the encouraging thing, Graham, in terms of the fact that we are seeing this clearing of the decks, and it is going to be a squad that is in Tion's image, because we have seen that in the past with other clubs whenever they've tried to recruit and it's just not recruit new managers and they just try with the same squad and it just never really works. I think as well have actually been the victims of that sometimes. So who have been some of the players that Tion has been bringing in to Hamburg to build that new squad? Who are the generals that will help their leader?
Well, the main arrival, not that there has been much publicity or shouting about it, but the club has brought in Klaus Giasula, who is a 30-year-old Albanian international defensive midfielder. So that was a free transfer from Paderborn. So Paderborn are one of these clubs in recent years, you know, who have moved between the Bundesliga and the second tier. So on paper, he should be the type of player that's required. He is said to be a two-footed player. So hopefully he can come in and make an impact. There have been another couple of players linked with the club recently. On social media, I think it was last week, one of Tion's former players, Moritz Heer, was spotted, and I think it was Instagram or something that he tagged his location. So he was spotted in the city, and that sort of got people talking. But he is a centre half. He's 25 years old, and obviously he could potentially be following his manager. So it's easy to see where that story has came from. The other player to be linked was Simon Terode from Cologne. So I know he had done well in recent years, but he is getting a bit older and maybe not what Cologne need right now. So I think that could possibly be a good signing, rather than, you know, throwing money at loan players, the likes of Pojan Palo. The budget will be reduced for this season. We are hoping that the new coach can identify players who will hit the ground running, who will be successful. But we do need to buy some relative quality as well for the amount of money that we're spending. And just in terms of money, our former player, Filip Kostic, the Serbian, he's said to be moving on from Eintracht. So clubs such as AC Milan and Monaco are said to be interested, and Monaco with Niko Kovac, his former manager. I don't know how true, but the fees in the region of 30 million have been mentioned. But the reason that is significant for Hamburg is because there was a 10% sell-on fee that was added into that deal. So if he was to go for that money, or even 25 million, you know, that money is going to be, you know, a big, big bonus to Tion and to Hauersvau for getting our transfers right.
Mm. Timo, what do you think about the moves that have happened so far and the rumours as well? Are there things that make you quite excited about the new squad? Any players that you think you would love to see come in? Players that you are sad to see go or potentially go? What have been your thoughts on the ins and outs so far?
I'm very sad that that Joel Parampalo is leaving us, because he's a machine. He was a very good striker, and I really hope that we can hold Tim Leibold in Hamburg. This is, I think, very important. He was the best player in the whole season last year, so that would be very important to keep in. I'm very excited to Klaus Jandrela, because he's bringing in this mentality we need, I think. He's a guy for the yellow cards. He collect around 17 yellow cards in the last season, I think. The first Bundesliga for Paderborn, but no red card, no yellow and red card. So he plays hard, but he knows his borders where he have to go. And I'm very excited, because I think this is what was missed last season, a guy who, hard to say in English, so in Germany we say ein Mann fürs Grobe. So a guy who's good for a yellow card, who makes a foul when a foul is needed, so you know,
brings a fight.
So this is what we need, and I hope that we get a new guy, minimum one new guy for the defense, for the central defense. And I think Rick van Drongelen, it's rips his cruciate ligament, so is the right word, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so he will be missed until next year, I think. And we need one or maybe two more players in the central defense. So I think the offense is okay. If Hinterseer leaves us, we need a new striker. But if not, we got Winsheimer back from Bochum, and he was on a loan deal for Bochum. And we got Hinterseer. This is okay for the second league. It's, I think, one of the best attacks in the second division. Yeah. It's very interesting what will happen the next weeks. So,
Yes, very interesting indeed. I agree with you on that. Derek, what else, other than, you know, managerial changes and, you know, player ins and outs, what else has been happening in the world of Hamburg, certainly since we last spoke on the subject?
Just a couple of points, really, mate. There was figures announced, which I found just... It just shows you that the support can never be faulted, despite at times the questions being on the playing side of the club. You can never question the support's loyalty. So the support in the last two seasons has taken the largest away support, on average, just over 4,500 guest fans per game. And obviously, the season just passed, we've seen 20,000 people in Hanover, which was the record for the season. As well as that, on the support, people who have heard me in pods before will know that I always tend to come from an ultras outlook with things, having previously been involved in their own. And Castaways, to mark the contract that Kuna had in place ending, had a little display, just to a gentle reminder that the Volkspark Stadion has been the name of the stadium since 1953 and should be forever. And I've also released a statement saying that they fully expect that the name should remain the Volkspark Stadion and don't want to see the days returning of a sponsored name stadium or a sponsor inclusive of the Volkspark Stadion. They want to see it remain the name of the stadium, the Volkspark Stadion. Keep it nice and simple, keep it traditional. But that's pretty much it, mate, to be honest. There's not been a hell of a lot happening because obviously the focus was on who's going to come in as a new man to take the club forward.
Just as well as that, Derek, it has been speculated, you know, as you will have seen, regarding the situation with Emirates and the shirt sponsorship. And without being officially confirmed, Timo will be able to tell us more, but it appears that Emirates have triggered a clause in the contract that they could end the agreement early. So something I was reading from the Hamburg Morning Post, it said that last year Emirates paid roughly 1.4 million euros for the shirt sponsorship, and that's something that the club is looking to replace. You know, so that is significant money. The Emirates logo, you know, over nearly the last 10 years, you know, has been synonymous with Harrisfow. It'll be a bit unusual seeing the shirt with a different sponsor. And I know a few people did mention that over the weekend there, watching Rangers against Lyon, it was a very Hamburg-looking shirt that they have with the red and blue on the white shirt and the Emirates logo. So that's something that you know, will need to be addressed. That is a major priority for the club. Derek did touch on Kuna's sponsorship's one word for it. I suppose he's a benefactor. But in terms of the naming rights for the stadium, he put the money in effectively so that the rightful name, the Volkspark Stadion, could remain. The club have a massive black hole there that's said to be worth up to 4 million euros, and they're potentially looking at a sponsorship. Because this is an emotive issue, I don't like it. Certainly Derek doesn't like it. People like Timo really don't like it. But given the situation the club's in, you know, for me, it might need to be a necessary evil. But yes, it's something that gets fans passionate and angry. So the club are said to be looking at a long-term naming rights deal, potentially for around 5 years. But given where the club is at the moment, I think that's going to be a hard sell. So that story is definitely one to watch over the coming weeks before the start of the season in September.
I don't care what anyone says. If there is a sponsor on the stadium, it's still called the Volkspark Stadion. And anyone who tries to suggest otherwise is a moron, in my opinion. It's one, it is a tricky one, and I know where you're coming from, Graham, in terms of, you know, that extra source of revenue, which, you know, when you're not in the top tier for a significant period of time, that does become something that's important. It's whether I guess it depends on who it is. Even like if it was something like the Emirates, the Volkspark Emirates Stadium or something like that, so something stupid like that, you can maybe get away with it. I guess it all comes down to who it is, and we'll find that out in the coming weeks, I suppose. So certainly stuff to keep an eye on in respect of news relating to Hamburg. Timo, I want to talk a bit about yourself now, as you are a very special, as you're a very special guest. So the spotlight is all on you. So no pressure, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So Timo,
what do you want to know? So
yeah. So how long have you been a supporter of Haresvall?
My whole entire life. So I was born in 1978, and my first visit in the stadium was 1981. So it was 3 years. I made my first footsteps in the Volkspark Stadium. So since then, I'm lost.
Were you already a football hooligan by the time you were 3 years old, or you're not throwing things at opposition fans? No.
No. Not with 3 years, so.
Okay. Not then, anyway. Okay. What's the first Hamburg game that you remember going to? Was it when you were three, or was it when you were a bit older? What's the first time that you remember being at the stadium?
I really don't remember my first game. So, but one of the first games I remember was, I think there was a cup game in 1987 or maybe late 86, I think. Against St. Pauli, we our big rival in the city, the big derby. So we won it 5-0, I think. And later on, we went to Berlin and the cup final in 1987, our last big title. And I was there with my father. So he took me to Berlin. We go through the borders from the German Democratic Republic then and watch the game in Berlin, 1987. That was one of my first real memories, so yeah.
Wow. Growing up, I suppose, in the 1980s with Hamburg having some, you know, very famous trophy wins and successes in that decade, who were some of your favourite Hamburg players at first? Who were your first Haresvall heroes?
One of my first heroes was Uli Stein, the keeper, Manfred Kaltz, and one of my always favorite player, Miroslav Okonski. So he was in the squad of 87, and I really loved him playing. He's from Poland, I think. He was great. Mm. There were so many very good players, so much more than now. And, you know, Dietmar Jacobs, Horst Rubesch, I saw him live playing in, I think, 83 or something like that. So many good players. Thomas Doll in the 90s was also very nice.
Okay, so you had other players in the 90s as well. Thomas Doll, possibly a young Jorge Alberts as well.
Yeah, sure. Jorge Alberts. He was one of our heroes, the Hammer.
Yes, absolutely. When did you first get involved with the Haresvall Supporters Club?
That was in the 90s. The Supporters Club was founded in 1993. So, and I became a member in 1998. So I became a member of Supporters Club. And I made in these years, 1996 was my first away games. I visited with 18 years, so I traveled through whole Germany to support Hamburg away. And that's my first contact to the guys from the Supporters Club. And
And you've never looked back ever since from that time. A loyal member of the Supporters Club ever since. And when did you become the leader of the Supporters Club?
It's 6 years ago. So after we had our big, what's the English name? We changed our club. So
the Mintzville Gerda.
The what?
The Mintzville Gerda. So it's we call it an AGM, mate.
Yes, it's Nauer AG. So, and Supporters Club was in 2014. It was on a, yeah, on a way, maybe to close it down, because with this restructure of the club, the Supporters Club lost some of his main, of its main things, you know. So the organization of fans, the Supporters Club was sales the away tickets and made an organization of the away tours to away games. So, and these all went over to the new company, and that's why some people thought the Supporters Club have no future. So, and me and some other guys, we thought we have to do anything to keep the Supporters Club what he is and what he was, and make it big again, and save what we have there. One of the biggest fan organizations in Europe, I think. And now since 6 years, I'm the leader of the Supporters Club, and I think, yeah, if I look back, it was a lot of work, but actually, I think Supporters Club is well known again, and we are in a good way. So,
was it particularly tough for you as the leader of the Supporters Club when the relegation happened? Did you notice, people maybe leaving the Supporters Club, maybe feeling slightly, the word would be disenfranchised, but maybe slightly sadder about Hamburg at this point, and not wanting to go support as much? Or did the opposite happen and a lot more people starting to care about the club in that way to join the Supporters Club once Hamburg went into the second tier?
At the same day we went, we got relegated. At the same day, we got 1,000 new members in one day. So, and in the whole summer until the season starts, we got more than 9,000 new members. And that was fantastic. The support the whole HSV got from his fans and its supporters. So this was, for me, it was unbelievable that the people they feel to have to do more, so they have to come to HSV, and they supported the team more than ever. That was very good.
I think that says a lot about supporters of Hamburg, that when the chips are down, they won't hide away, they will organize and find a solution, which is excellent to see. If people are listening to this and wish to join the official Supporters Club, how could they do so, Timo?
We have an internet site, so it's a website, and you can go online and fill out a formula, and then you can become a member. That's very easy.
You can
bring the link in the show notes. I don't know. So it's router-dich.de, and you can go on the website and fill out the formula.
We'll certainly put a link to that website in the description for this show. Very happy to do so. When did you form the Hamburg Loyal Rangers Supporters Club?
I became a member around 15 years ago.
Okay.
And around 15 years ago, 2005, I think. That was the year of my first visit in Ibrox. I will never forget that. Lousy game against Dundee United, I think, 1-1 or something like this. Yeah. So I feel like home, you know. So, and the Hamburg Loyal Rangers Supporters Club is now 43 years old. It's founded in 1977. Actually we have, I think, around 15, 20 members. and try to come to Glasgow as often as we can. And yeah, we can't wait to reopen the borders and the stadiums again to come over.
We'll certainly look forward to that day for sure. Is it the same story for people who maybe want to join the Hamburg Loyal as a website that you can fill a form for as well?
No, this is just a personal thing. So you have to come to a meeting from us, and the members have to see if you fit in the group, and maybe you can become a member.
It kind of sounds like the thing that Derek's a much better chance of being a member of than me, I think.
It'd still knock me back, mate.
You've still got a better chance than me, I think, bud. Brilliant, Timo. Really, really interesting stuff. Really happy to have had that information from you. Now, as well as talking about Hamburg, we also want to use this opportunity to look at other news from the world of German football. Because if we keep an eye on Hamburg, then of course German football is a part of that syndrome. So, Graham, I'm going to go over to you for this one. What has been going on that's caught your eye in the world of Bundesliga in terms of players, clubs, European competitions, the lot? The floor is yours.
Well, Bayern Munich have been winning trophies again. So we don't need to say any more about that. To be honest, our game against Bayer Leverkusen is coming up. Obviously, it's just really strange. I was due to be going to the game, the Bayer Arena, but obviously the pandemic struck. But the ticket will be a good souvenir of a game that was never played. Obviously, most people will know there's a lot of speculation around Kai Havertz. Chelsea are said to be front runners to sign him. It's said that they have made an agreement with his people, his representatives, and it's now down to the club. So we'll see if Chelsea pay the money that Leverkusen are looking. It would be nice if he wasn't playing against us. It would give us a bit more of a chance. Just in the last couple of days, Jude Bellingham from Birmingham City, he's gone off to Dortmund. He's following Sancho. A young English guy heading off to the Westfalenstadion to progress his career. Good luck to the guy. Dortmund were quite clever. They put out a video on their social channels today, which was, of course, the Beatles' Hey Jude. Some terrible singing from the players and fans and stuff. And yeah, just the kind of thing that happens nowadays to announce new signings. But I thought that was quite clever. But good luck to him. One story I did want to sort of focus on, it certainly caught my attention in terms of André Schürrle. So he wasn't playing recently in the Bundesliga. He was lastly on loan to Spartak Moscow and Fulham before that. But World Cup winner and, you know, famous German footballer has retired at 29. It's strange, and you sort of go, well, what's the situation there? You know, it's something important to myself. It's something that Derek's familiar and passionate about. And in terms of the Heart and Hand Network, you know, we've all approached and discussed the issue of mental health. You know, we forget that these footballers, you know, are humans. And from what I've read from André Schürrle and just the pressures and the demands have just been too much for him. You know, on the surface, a guy who literally had it all in football, you know, millionaire, World Cup winner, played in the Bundesliga, Premier League with Chelsea. He went back to the Bundesliga, to Wolfsburg, I think, and then to Dortmund. But the guy's obviously having struggles as a human, you know, so that's something that you know, plenty of us can relate to. At the moment, he's taken the decision to retire. Obviously, we wish him well. Hopefully, his health is good. That's the most important thing. You never know. After 12 months, after a break, he may look to come back to football in some role, if not playing. Maybe, you know, working for one of his former clubs. We'll need to see how that one goes. But just not, I doubt that he will be listening. But you know, all the best to André Schürrle, doing whatever he has to do. And just in terms of the restart and fans getting back to stadiums, the DFL, which is the body that runs the Bundesliga, they made almost like recommendations for fans returning to the stadiums. It was a bit complicated and a bit of a nonsense, to be honest. It was said that they're going to recommend a 50% seating capacity and 12.5% of standing capacity to be filled. So on one hand, that's quite complicated. But the other issue is, because Germany is a federal country, and you know, each area, each lander, you know, has its own rules. It's its own state. You know, what is law and what the Hamburg government decide to do might be different from North Rhine-Westphalia, where the likes of Dortmund, Leverkusen, and others are based. So it's not like Scotland or England, where the government says this is what's happening. It's a bit more complicated than that's over in Germany, to say the least. We're all bursting to go back to football, to see the game itself, but it's everything around it, you know, seeing your mates, having a pint, some food, you know, just doing your thing. We're football guys. It's what we do. It's what we look forward to. So hopefully it will be sooner rather than later. We can all gather again at Stellingen, but before heading up to the Volkspark. But yeah, we'll need to see how things go.
I think what Graeme said on André Schürrle there, it was very apt. Sometimes players, you know, especially guys when they kind of break through kind of at an early age, which I think was the case with André Schürrle, I think people often forgot how young he really was. I think some people are maybe surprised that he hadn't even hit the age of 30 yet. He feels like he's been around for a long time. Guys that break through so early, there is a lot of pressure on them. And if they maybe feel that they're kind of past that point where they were at their kind of absolute peak, that must be difficult for them. And it's maybe not surprising that we see someone that said, actually, I'm gonna maybe look at focusing on myself a bit more now, you know.
Yeah, it's very much something that's obviously starting to become a bit more of a focus in the game in terms of the mental side. Obviously, these type of guys as well, you've got to remember the vast amounts of money that they make throughout their career. It's obviously, it's not a long career, but it is a stressful career. So he's got to the age of 29. It's sad really to see the guy. Obviously just feels, I kind of continue down this path, I can go elsewhere and be of more benefit to himself and his family. A magnificent player on his day. Even his spell at Chelsea at times, he never quite get the credit. I never thought he'd get the credit he deserved as a football player at times in England, because I think he was magnificent at times. He broke my heart, mind you. I had a great record. I've never seen Haasvall lose in I think it was 7 games before I seen Hamburg get beat. And Schürrle scored on the last day at the Volkspark for Leverkusen. We could have actually, I think that was the last time we had a chance of being in Europe. Had we won that day, we would have been European football. Sad how much that's all changed. But even as well as Schürrle, there's obviously Mario Götze, from, well, He was the World Cup winner at the end of the day for Germany. Goetz is in the same waiting lounge just now. Strange why nobody's really thought, you know what, he's worth a chance, because there's undoubtable talent there. It's a real shame in terms of Schürrle obviously feels mentally that it's time to turn away from the game. And that's sad. It's sad really, because as I say, wasn't exactly a bad football player, and he's got a fair few medals to take into his retirement with him as well. So just as Graham says, I wish him all the best in whatever he decides to do in the future as well.
On Jude Bellingham, Graham, I think it's an interesting one as well, whether we see him play. I think we probably will. I think he will get game time, because no one expected Jadon Sancho to get as much game time as what he did when he kind of first arrived, and very quickly kind of established himself as a very important part of that of that Dortmund team. It almost feels as though Bellingham is the kind of heir apparent to Jadon Sancho, because there's always been the talk of, you know, Sancho's going to move on, he's going to go to, you know, the next club, whether it be back in England or possibly in Spain or something like that. I reckon Dortmund are the kind of club that will want to play Bellingham and almost prove a point that, yes, Sancho might be going, but look who we've got now.
Yes, I mean, it is possible that he could almost end up replacing Sancho in a way. But the lad is only 17. You know, it's okay breaking through into Birmingham's team, playing in the Championship, you know, which is a very physical league. But I would say there'll certainly be more of a spotlight on him at Dortmund, you know, playing at a higher level. I'll be honest, you know, I haven't really seen him play at all, just with his breakthrough. I've read some bits about him, the outgoing Birmingham manager. Spoke very highly of him, but fair play to the lad to decide at 17, you know, rather than going to, you know, I don't know, maybe not that sort of a team like West Ham could maybe have afforded him, but instead of staying in England, he's decided, you know, I want to go over to Germany, you know, because it's all about development as a person as well as a footballer. I would think, you know, they have signed him with the intention that he will play. But, you know, how much, Derek just spoke there about players like Schürrle, you know, being exposed to demands and being top flight footballers from a young age. I would say it's unlikely that we'll see Bellingham, you know, as a regular at 17. I mean, it's not impossible, but that would be a big demand on the player, you know, being away from his family and being away from what he knows. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that works out and how he adapts to his new club, you know, and to a new league.
Yeah, maybe a transition we'll see in terms of you know, him getting some games and Sancho getting slightly less, and then the move happens, and by that point they've already got the replacement. We'll see how that works out. I think we'll leave it there for this episode of the Hamburg Hangover. Hopefully a really good start to a project that we'll kind of see this season, and finally see Hamburg promoted back to Bundesliga, and we'll be right there with you every step of the way, once a month. If you want to come on to the Hamburg Hangover, if you've been to Hamburg games, if you travelled over, have stories to tell about your time going over to see Hamburg games, then please get in touch. We'd love to have you on. You can email me at james@heartandhand.co.uk, or you can message me on Twitter. It's @heartandhames. My thanks to Derek Johnston.
No problem, mate. Thanks for having me.
My thanks to Graham Hanna.
Cheers.
And very, very special thanks to Team Oliver Horn for coming on for his Hamburg experiences. We really, really appreciate you coming on the show as well.
It was a nice pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. And until we speak to you next time on the Hamburg Hangover, up the Haspel.
That was a Heart and Hand production.
So, ich hoffe, das hat euch Spaß gemacht. Ich wünsche euch jetzt eine schöne Sommerpause. Wir hören uns bald wieder. Für euch, euer Supporters Club, nur der HSV.